Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues and invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, the basic gospel is simply this: Jesus Christ is alive. That was proven powerfully by his resurrection from the dead. And that's the good news that we get to share with everybody, that Jesus Christ is alive, and because he lives, we can live as well through faith in him. And when he comes to live inside of us, he gives us a whole new way of living, a whole new way of thinking. And it reorders everything inside of us. We were going down the path of the world. We were living to gratify the desires of the flesh. But all that changed in an instant when Jesus came to live inside of us. That's what salvation is. We get this new way of life, and we start learning to see things in a whole different way. And one of the things that we start to see differently is money, what it is used for, what our attitudes should be about money, how that we can use it to advance the kingdom of God. And all of that flows out of a heart of worship. I love what Jesus had to say in Matthew 6. It says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So he's talking about this issue of worship. Where does our heart tend toward?
Yeah.
As lost people, it was toward the world. When Christ comes to live inside of us, he gives us a new heart that is directed toward him. We start to worship him. So we know the who of worship, and we've learned also this week that whatever we worship will ultimately control us. That's why we have to get worship correct. That's why we have to start right there when we talk about a subject like grace and money. But when our worship is correct, then we can trust him to start dealing with us and renewing our mind. So we have the who of worship. Now today we're going to talk about the how of worship. And we're going to look at a story in John chapter 4. Jesus meets a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, and he asks her for some water. And they have this conversation about water, and Jesus changes it to living water, and whoever drinks of this, it will bubble up into springs of eternal life. So it's an amazing conversation. But then it changes to this area of worship. And the woman asked him this. He said, "You must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshiped?" So there was this argument between the Jews and between the Samaritans. This is the proper place to worship God. They knew they were going to worship God the Father, but the place was important. And Jesus cuts through all of that and said, "No, there is a time when true worship will worship the where true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." And he says the Father is looking for those who will worship him that way, for God is spirit. So those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So that's the how of worship. We know who to worship. We get so concerned about the place of worship that we forget the how of worship. And as we talked about yesterday, the how of worship takes place each and every day of our lives as we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be used by him for his purposes, to carry out his will in this world today. And a part of carrying out his will today will touch on our use of money. So the how of worship is in offering ourselves, and Jesus defines that as worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And that takes place each and every day of our lives. This life that we have is a spiritual life. It comes from above. It's not of this world. That's why it's a new way of life altogether. And this new way of life is built upon the foundation of truth. Who is truth? Jesus Christ himself. So when we worship him in spirit and truth, then we can count on him to renew our minds as far as money is concerned. Well, let's talk about it on today's broadcast. 1-800-677-9377. That's the number to call, 1-800-677-9377. And let's talk about our offer this month. It is a wonderful CD series called Grace and Money. Included with that is a booklet called Giving the New Covenant Way. I think it is a power-packed package of information that can help you kind of cut through all the clutter and confusion that's out there as far as money is concerned, as far as giving is concerned, and can see it through the New Covenant lens. So we want to put this resource into your hands. It's available to you for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. And you can take advantage of this offer simply by going to basicgospel.net. We have an icon right there in the middle of the page that you can click and get information about this resource and how you can get it into your hands. And certainly now we need your help. We need your support. After a great year end, contributions have fallen the first couple of months of the year, and we need to catch up. That's typical, but we've fallen a little further than we have in the past. So if you could help us with a gift today, we would greatly appreciate that. And to say thanks, we want to put this resource into your hands. So again, if you have a question you'd like to pose on today's broadcast, go ahead, pick up that phone, call us, 1-800-677-9377.
Now, we've got a question here from Dave from Kansas, Overland Park, Kansas, and he's asking a question not unlike the woman at the well asked, although it's in our day and age, and I'm going to paraphrase it afterwards. Is the church Israel? Are all the promises to Israel fulfilled in the body of Christ? And to paraphrase that, what is the right church? How do I know, etc.? What is going on with church and worship?
Well, that's a great question. And I think that's one of the points of confusion that's out there in the world today. There are some theologians and theological tracts that would say the church has replaced Israel. We are now spiritual Israel. There's some verses, especially in Romans 9, 10, and 11, that would lead to that conclusion. But I think the nation of Israel, God chose them for a particular purpose, and that was to serve as the bloodline for yes. the Messiah. And then once the Messiah was to come, once he arrived, then he was going to become the blessing of the world. So Jesus really is the Israel of God, basically. Mm-hmm. And the Jews rejected Israel. That was all a part of God's plan. And when they rejected Jesus, then the gospel message went out to the Gentile world. Now, Jesus is going to come back. At some point, this gospel message is going to circle back to the Jews, to the nation of Israel, and as the Word of God says, they're going to be saved. So now we see this age of the Gentile, basically. There is a remnant of Jewish people being saved. They are being saved by grace, just as the Gentiles are. They are joining together to form this one new man, this body of believers called the Church of Jesus Christ. But there will be a point in time where the age of the Gentiles has ended, and this gospel message is going to cycle back to the nation of Israel. That's God's plan, and it's a marvelous plan, and they're going to see their need for the mercy that has been provided for them in Christ Jesus. And so we'll all stand together as one and worship the Lord together. So that's the plan of God. Now, as far as the church is concerned, there's this universal church, Catholic church, and I'm not talking about the Vatican and the Pope and that sort of thing. I'm using Catholic in terms of universal. Everyone who is born again of the Spirit of God has entered into the kingdom of God and is a part of the universal church. We're all connected one to another spiritually. Now, that's the church, and God looks down upon this world, and he sees that big church. Now, in various locations, there's local assemblies of that body, and those local assemblies happen under all kinds of banners. You know, there's a Methodist banner and a Baptist banner and a Catholic banner and all of that. Not everyone who's in those churches are saved necessarily. They may be members of a church. That doesn't necessarily mean they've been born again. But there will be a great number of people in those churches who are born again, who represent the true church of Jesus Christ. So where do you go to church? Well, you find a place that lifts up the name of Jesus Christ, that honors the Word of God as being the Word of God, authoritative and truthful in our lives. You go where grace is proclaimed, where salvation is given as being saved by grace through faith, that there's no works involved in that. And you give yourself to that group to serve, to be a part, to be in community with people so that you can rub shoulders with them and the Spirit can do its ministry in that body of people. And as the Spirit does his ministry in that body of people, we can grow together into the fullness of Christ Jesus. So it's important. There's all kinds of churches out there. There's a lot of churches that don't teach truth, that may read a Bible passages here and there, but their standard for truth comes from other books written at a much later time. Are they teaching truth? No. Only one book holds the truth, and that's the Bible as far as God is concerned. We know the truth about God through this Word of God as revealed to us by the Spirit in the person of Christ Jesus. So find a church that lifts up Jesus, that holds the Bible up as the authoritative Word of God and is grace-oriented, and I think you'll find a good place to be.
Yeah, it's so important because when Jesus said, "The time is coming when we will worship in spirit and truth," what you've just been talking about is how to worship in spirit and truth. Because if we get wrapped up in a name, an ism, a denomination, then we will have a twisted view of giving, a twisted view of money and investment and all the rest of it. When we're worshiping in spirit and truth, then we'll be able to give wherever the Spirit tells us to give.
Yes, indeed. 1-800-677-9377. If you have a question about money, if you have a question about worship, if you have a question about the church, give us a call right now. Again, that number, 1-800-677-9377. Well, let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Jonah, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Jonah. Jonah, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hey, Jonah. You are on the air. We're doing great. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Well, what's on your mind today?
The question in Acts of the Apostles 8 and Acts chapter 10, I see where Philip went to Samaria and preached the gospel, and they were simply being baptized in Jesus' name. And when Peter and John came down, they said they were not yet fallen upon any of them. And so they pray and they receive the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Christ. In Acts chapter 10, you see where Peter went to Cornelius and while he explained to them what happened in Jerusalem and in the land of the Gentiles, they that were paying attention received the Holy Spirit and he ordered them to be baptized in Jesus' name. That also connects to Acts chapter 2. Is it there a different way you receive the Spirit of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Well, that comes through believing and receiving the message concerning Christ. So in all of those cases, those particular people groups on Acts chapter 2, it was the Jews hearing for the first time the good news about Jesus. Peter was up preaching the resurrection of Christ, and that through him you could have forgiveness of sins and new life. And 3,000 people believed that day, and the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. Well, the Jews never believed that the Gentiles nor the Samaritans would receive the gift of God's Spirit. So when Philip preached to the Samaritans, they heard the message about Christ, but God wanted an eyewitness of what he was about to do. So he moved in Peter's heart to go, and Peter went. And when he did, he saw with his own eyes the gift of God's Spirit being given to the Samaritans. He didn't know what to do with that other than to say, I saw it. It happened. These Samaritans received the same gift that we did. And then he was called to go to Cornelius's house in Caesarea. And as he is talking about the risen Christ, again, the message is very consistent, the resurrected Christ. The Holy Spirit is poured out on those Gentile people. And Peter stood there just beyond belief. I just can't believe this has happened, that God has poured out his Spirit upon these Gentiles. I'm not even supposed to be in these people's homes, but yet I'm here and I see God doing something beyond anything I would have ever imagined. And so Peter witnessed that, and he went back to the leaders in Jerusalem, and he made this bold statement that they are saved by grace just as we are, and they have received the gift of God's Spirit. From that moment on, anyone who received Christ, who believed Christ, who confessed with their mouth that Jesus Christ was Lord and believed in their hearts that Jesus had been raised from the dead, that God had raised them from the dead, they received that same gift of God's Spirit and were made alive. And the evidence of that, we want to say it has to be speaking in tongues, but that's not the case. The evidence of Christ being alive in us is the fact that we genuinely love God and that we can love others as God has loved us in Christ Jesus. That's what John says in his first letter. When we're born again, we know God, we know that he is love, and therefore we love others. That's the evidence of the resurrected Christ coming to live inside of us.
Sir, excuse me. Hello?
Yeah, we're listening.
Okay. I think you make a mistake right there when you said that's not the evidence, because Jesus, Jesus told the disciples not to go and preach till they received the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. And when they received the Holy Spirit, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit.
And to be filled with the Holy Spirit means to be filled with an understanding of the love of God. Paul talks about that in Ephesians. But Jonah, I agree. I mean, when those folks received the Spirit, they spoke in different tongues. And that was a sign to Peter that the gift of the Spirit had been given to the Samaritans and then to the Gentiles. So that was a sign. It certainly can be a sign, but I think there's a greater sign, and that sign is an enduring sign, a lasting sign, and that's the love of God being poured out in our hearts. We're actually going to talk about this more in detail in the month of June as we celebrate Pentecost and that sort of thing. It's a fascinating study, and it's one that's just blown me away, and I'm very excited about the possibility of really talking about that for a full month. So hang in there with us, Jonah, and we will talk further about this in June, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, thanks for your call. Good question. Let's go to Phil in White Plains, New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Phil. Well, we lost Phil, so let's go to Greg in Orange, New Jersey. Hi, Greg.
Good afternoon. Hi.
Hi. How are you today?
Good, good, good. God bless you, and thank you. The question was on Revelation 19, but I do have one throwback on a prior caller, and that was just a quick backup question. That is, when was Paul saved?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I mean, he was stopped dead in his tracks on the road to Damascus. In God's mind, that was salvation. He was blinded. He went into the city. He met with a person there. The person kind of told him the whole story. He was baptized, and that was kind of the complete story of Paul's conversion experience. But I think in my mind, God made him alive on the Damascus Road.
Yeah, I think he separated him, like when he said, follow me, separate light from dark. And it just personally, I believe, was on the third day on his knees on the street straight. Because it was only after then that God told Ananias to go down and see Paul. And of course, Ananias went to say, no, he said, he's with us now. So at the point, Paul was then born again, but then the instructions to Ananias was, go down and do two things, and that is, put your fingers on his eyes, and the scales are going to fall off, and then lay hands on him and then fill him with the power of the Holy Spirit. So he received the Holy Spirit at the time of salvation, but there was an empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the laying on of hands on Ananias, which occurred after.
Okay, so... do you make a doctrine out of that everybody has to have that? Somebody put their...
It's not a doctrine. I'm just saying there is, yes, there's the infilling of the Holy Spirit, but there's an empowerment of the Holy Spirit, which is probably the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
I see that, Greg, as the filling. So there's the indwelling of the Spirit, you know, at salvation. Yes. Christ comes to live inside of us, and then there's the filling of the Spirit. And that's a different thing. The Spirit never leaves us, but the filling the filling of the Spirit is what enables us to understand the love of God and live out the love of God in our day-to-day lives. Paul really defines that in Ephesians 3. But let's get on to your question.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I agree with that. It was just I'm saying there was an addition to it. The question was in Revelation 19. On the return, and we know he's going to, in Zechariah, and he's going to blow the shofar, the trumpet, over Jerusalem. But it says, on his vesture and on his thigh was written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What's your take on that?
There is some imagery there that I have forgotten. I'd have to look it up, but the thigh is important because of something else it meant in Hebrew.
Also the texture too.
Yes, but what he is being identified as here is there is no other. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Those two places, I believe, and again, I'd have to look it up to confirm it, but those are like you can't go any further than that. There is no other being in the universe who can have these two names and be called God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So it's an incontrovertible, don't talk to me anymore about it kind of statement on God's part regarding Jesus.
Well, Greg, thanks for calling in. We sure appreciate your question, and we certainly appreciate those others that called in as well on today's broadcast of Basic Gospel. I want to remind you of our great offer. This month, it's a CD series called Grace and Money. It is two messages that talk about the four aspects of money, worship, contentment, stewardship, and giving. It comes with a booklet on New Covenant giving. It's a wonderful, wonderful resource. We want to put it in your hands. It's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. So take advantage of it. It's a win-win situation. You give and help others hear the good news that Jesus Christ is alive, you get a wonderful resource that aids you in your spiritual growth. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.